just feel tired. Feel weak. And when you feel weak, you feel like you wanna just give up. But you gotta search within you. Try to find that inner strength and just pull that shit out of you. And get that motivation to not give up and not be a quitter.
Till I collapse, I'm spilling these raps long as you feel them. Till the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing them.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the daily audio update for Thursday, August 28th, 2008. I got a ton of Quentin Jackson talk for you here today, as well as some other stuff from around the world of MMA, including some Shamrock Kimbo stuff and some others. But we'll start with the news of the day. Quentin Jackson officially entered a plea of not guilty to the charges stemming from his hit and run in July and his police chase in California. The pretrial date for this has been set for October 9th, and he returns to court on November 3rd to learn if the matter will go to trial. This is according to MMA Junkie. And if convicted, he faces up to 3 years in prison. As this is coming out, it seems Dana White's plan is for Rampage to fight at UFC 91. At least that is the rumor right now. And the charges won't impede him, as Dana White is quoted as saying, "Of course he'll fight. If he was doing drugs, if he had been drunk, if he had gone out there and done what he did because he was pissed off at someone, that would be a completely different story. But he was ill, and in this company, we support our friends and anyone who works for us when they're ill and have problems. He was ill, the incident occurred, and now he's fine." He goes on to say Rampage feels awful about the woman's baby, that being the woman who miscarried following the accident, but he had nothing to do with it. And the traffic incident occurred because he was very ill and not with him in control of his faculties. There's so many things wrong with the way Dana White is handling this and with the treatment Quentin Jackson is receiving from the UFC in terms of returning to action here, and just the way they're trying to sweep this under the rug as if it's no big deal. This is major stuff here. He's facing up to 3 years in prison, and they're talking about bringing him back to fight right now. On SportsIllustrated.com, Ben Folks has an article up about this from today, from this morning, talking about the fact that they're ignoring Jackson's role in this. He was ill because he wasn't eating or sleeping and living entirely on energy drinks for days following his loss to Forrest Griffin. Dana's leaving out the fact that he did this to himself, and then got in a car and fled from the police after crashing into some people. So Quentin Jackson is, he was ill, but he did this to himself. The way Dana's handled this, our own Jason Bent summed this up very well in his column from August 7th entitled "Quentin Jackson, Our Priorities Out of Line." He's equating it to like an NFL. He says, if a third string left tackle gets drunk and punches his wife, it's a sure bet that the team will invoke a conduct clause and release him without batting an eye. However, change that to a starting quarterback and the team will hold a press conference to let everyone know that they support this athlete in his time of trouble. And this is what Dana's doing with Rampage right now. He kicked Jesse Taylor out of the Ultimate Fighter finale because he got drunk and kicked out a window. He damaged some property. He made the UFC look bad. He's fining fighters and not allowing them to wear affliction shirts at the shows because of their competitor. And yet he's quick to post bail for Rampage, and he's quick to completely be behind him. That's fine for him to support Quentin Jackson, to support his fighter. That's one thing. But to plan to get him back immediately and get him fighting as soon as November, when all of this is going on, not only does it make sense, does it not make sense just based on the examples I just talked about with his previous handling of fighters and outside the octagon conduct, but it doesn't make sense for Quentin Jackson in terms of training for this fight and being prepared for a November 15th fight when he's got legal issues where he will be in court. He's got court issues to deal with in October and as late as November 3rd to find out if it goes to trial. He's going to be in court 2 weeks before UFC 91. How are you going to put him in that fight and think he'll be prepared to fight with all... I mean, you saw what happened. George St. Pierre has talked about the personal issues and family issues. I mean, he hasn't gone into detail with respect to his family, but he's talked about there was stuff on his mind and issues that he was dealing with leading into his first fight with Matt Serra that caused him to... I mean, he's not saying it completely cost him the match, but it led to him taking Matt Serra lightly, and it led to him losing that fight. And he has said he wouldn't let that happen again. Jackson's gonna have so much more on his plate with, especially if he finds out on the 3rd that it will go to trial, if he doesn't come up with some plea bargain before that, but the fact is, he could be facing jail time. That's going to be on his mind going into this, and the fact that it's just being swept under the rug and looked at so just lightly right now by Dana White and the UFC is kind of mind-boggling. So that's all I've got to say on Jackson for today. Some more news from around MMA. Elite XC has confirmed a number of prelim bouts for Saturday Night Fights 3 on October 4th on CBS. Got this from FoxSports.com. On the prelim card, Edson Berto, 14-5-1, will meet Mike Aina, 9-6-1. Crafton Wallace, 15-3-1, will face Lorenzo Borgomio, 4-0. Berto was last seen at Elite XC Street Certified in February, where he was knocked out by Eve Edwards. He was also defeated by KJ Nunes last July, so he's looking to get past a reputable opponent in Aina. Aina is coming off a win at Return of the King. He got a unanimous victory against Kaleo Kwan. And he also put up an impressive showing against Nick Diaz in September, and he lost that fight by a split decision. The other prelim fight, Wallace, who is a one-time UFC fighter, he has a four-fight winning streak coming into this against a yet-to-be-named opponent. And Borgomio will have his second fight under the Elite XC banner, and he submitted Mike Bernhard in the second round at Street Certified. He has yet to go to the distance in his four fights, and he has stopped all of his adversaries within 15 minutes. So those are your prelim bouts for the CBS show there. That main card obviously has Jake Shields defending the welterweight crown against Paul Daly. Murillo Ninja Hua meeting Benji Radich, and two women's fights, Gina Carano against Kelly Kobold Gavin, Christiane Cyborg Santos against Yoko Takahashi, and of course that is headlined by Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock. And Ken Shamrock talked with Sherdog about the upcoming fight. Quote, where I'm at in this stage of my career, this is probably the biggest fight in my life since I started fighting. This is the biggest because, you know, I'm at the stage of my career where it's put up or shut up. And, you know, Kimbo's at that same stage, put up or shut up. So, obviously, Shamrock has not won a fight in years coming into this. And Shamrock is looking to pick up a victory over a untested Kimbo Slice. Shamrock says of Kimbo, he got exposed. Because he got exposed, they're going to go back and make sure they fix those things, so it's not like they're going to have the same fighter this time. He also says about Kimbo, the way he looks, he's very impressive looking. He moves well for a big guy before he gets tired and talks well. He's just got this image about him and the way he speaks. He's a very, very intimidating person. He walks into the room, people look. When he talks, people listen. So he's got that charisma. He's got what it takes to be marketable. Now we'll figure out whether he's got what it takes to be a fighter. He goes on to say, honestly, I think I can test him anywhere. He's got big, heavy hands. Everyone says he punches hard, and he probably does. But again, he doesn't punch properly, in my opinion. He swings his hands, he moves his body back and forth, trying to get as much power as he can, but there's really no snap behind it. You can usually see the punches coming. I'm going to do what I need to do. If it goes to the ground, I'll probably break his leg. I mean, no question, I will break his leg. If he gives it to me, I'm going to break it. So, there's more of that article on SureDog, so definitely check that out, but, you know, this very confident Ken Shamrock coming into this, big fight with Kimbo, but as I've talked about before with this fight, it's gonna draw viewers, but it's Elite XC is gonna be hurt one way or another, regardless of how this outcome of this fight. Ken Shamrock is not a name to bank upon to carry your promotion. He's 44 years old, well past his prime. Hasn't won a fight in 3 years, 4 years, something like that. And if he beats Kimbo, the guy that you're trying to bank your company on as your next big thing, then you completely kill Kimbo's credibility by getting beat by this 44-year-old guy who hasn't won a fight in many years. And he gains nothing by beating Kimbo because he's beating a guy that has 3 fights under his belt and that many think is a fluke in the first place and shouldn't be in MMA. So no one looks good coming out of this. So I'm not really excited about this. They're going to draw viewers for CBS and they're going to get people to watch. Maybe it'll draw some interest for the undercard fights, but it's just going to be... It's going to be a colossal mess of a main event fight. More on the Shamrock Kimbo stuff. Brett Rogers talked to MMA Junkie. His camp issued a statement through 5 Ounces of Pain. And he calls Kimbo more myth than Sasquatch, Chupacabra, and a expletive unicorn combined, and he calls Shamrock 103 years old and a Jurassic MMA fighter. So there's more to this, so definitely check that out. It was his statement here was, as for October 4th, that was our spot. Shamrock, with his name and giant ego, butted in line to get a slice of Kevin. At 103 years of age, Ken usurped our rightful place against the YouTube champ. Our sincerest hope is that Ken whips Kimbo, and then we can finally euthanize the world's most dangerous man and relegate him to some MMA dinosaur exhibit. Maybe taxidermy him and Dan Severn and place them on a rotating pedestal where they can endlessly circle each other. If Ken proves to be more sham than rock and Fergie beats him, then the slice hype grows even greater. Dude is already more myth than Sasquatch, Chupacabra, and a expletive unicorn combined. Kevin is the Black Yeti. Caught between a Shamrock and a hard place, Kevin has chosen the old over the new, the past over the future. But Fergie, the hard place is coming. By putting us off, making us wait will only make matters worse. There's nothing business about it anymore. Kimbo made it a point to go fronting at our boys at Big Black, but that street thug BS might work well with fanboys and the internet dorks who think your street cred means something. But son, Brett comes from Cabrini Green, the worst 12 blocks of America. Compared to that, your street is Sesame Street. So you could say it is very personal between Brett and Fergie. So go ahead and make us wait while you fight Tank and Shamrock. Hell, why not fight Keith Hackney, Harold Howard, Fred Edish, and the rest of Jurassic MMA? And while you're shucking and ducking, we will be hustling and muscling, and when the bell finally tolls, the only real question left is, do you wake up looking at canvas or arena lights? Just great statement from Brett Rogers' camp, and he's going to make people want to see that fight even more. And if Kimbo gets past Ken Shamrock, then Elite XC has no excuse for not putting Brett Rogers in the next spot against Kimbo. He should get that fight. He's wanted it, and if he picks up another victory and Kimbo wins, I mean, I see no reason why he shouldn't get that. More Elite XC news, also from MMA Junkie. KJ Nunes has issued a statement criticizing Elite XC and their company executives. The statement was emailed to MMA Junkie, and they talked with Nunes to confirm it themselves. It's a decently long statement from KJ Nunes. He wants to address the false allegations and insults from Jared Shaw, as he says, and why he is so disgusted of how Elite XC treated him and how it applies to this proposed fight in his career. He says, Shaw says, honor my contract. Elite XC wants to talk about honoring the contract. How about when Elite XC honored the contract and my pay to fight Edson Berto went down after I lost my first fight? That was not part of my contract. Or how about the contract Gary Shaw breached by not promoting my boxing career? Gary Shaw only gave me 1 out of 4 of the agreed-upon fights. I have not boxed for over a year. When I signed with Elite XC, I was promised they would promote both my boxing and MMA careers. I would have signed with another MMA-only company, but I wanted to box too. He goes on to talk about more about Elite XC not promoting or taking care of him as their champion. He lists examples, including on the DVD where he fought Diaz. There are 2 baseball cards of Diaz and Kimbo. And he says, I won the fight, and they're promoting Diaz after I beat him. Or how they flew Diaz in to do a signing on the DVD where he lost, and he wasn't flown in for it. He says he's never been promoted on either of their websites, and that he was offered to fight on the first CBS show only if he signed a new long-term contract. Instead of promoting their best fighters on CBS, you have to be on a long-term contract for them to promote you. That was not our deal. And he also says, consider when Elite XC gives a couple thousand tickets away at their CBS show in Stockton. They give me a hard time about comping me 1 extra ticket for my cousin that helped me train for my fight. I only get 4 tickets per show. I'm the main event in Honolulu, my hometown. I did not ask for any tickets for my family and friends, and they gave me a hard time about 1 extra ticket. And he also says, how about when Elite XC brought Diaz into the ring after my last victory in Hawaii to disrespect me and my family? He says they threatened him, his family, and his manager with lawsuits, and how they're going to sue me. Pretty hard to sue a guy who does not make jack with your company. He says, I'm glad Shaw disclosed how much I make, which breached the confidentiality clause of the contract. I will break down the real numbers for you. I'm the defending world champ. I have been the main event for Elite XC 3 out of 4 times on Showtime. In almost 2 years, I have made approximately $83,000. After paying trainers and manager's fee, I have $50,000. After taxes, probably $30,000. Divide that by two years for $15,000 a year. Divide by 52 weeks, that amounts to approximately $300 a week. he's talking about all this and more and defending himself, and he says he's right when I say Diaz is not the number one contender. Elite XC is trying to force this fight for their ratings. Eddie Alvarez is the number one contender, and anybody with half a brain knows that a fight with Eddie is a way harder fight for me than Diaz. I will fight Diaz, but Elite has to be fair. I'm not ducking Diaz. Why the hell would I be scared of someone I already beat? So right now, with that being said, he says, I want to focus on my boxing career. I can make more money doing 6 and 8 rounders every other month and make more than I did being the Elite XC defending world champ. At least I will be able to sleep at night and be able to look myself in the mirror every day. He says, will the Diaz fight happen? Yes. Will the fight happen on Elite XC on October 4th? No. The way things are being run, he has many names for Shaw here. The way things are being run by Chuck Champion, a guy whose history is newspapers, not fighting. Someone who talks a lot of game and has never put on a pair of gloves, never stepped in a ring or cage. He's had everything handed to him with a silver spoon from Daddy. Does anyone else but me think Shaw just wants to be famous and stir up all this dirty laundry? I guess any publicity is good publicity. When I think about it, it has been good promotion for their October card, since nobody is talking about it until you bring up the Nunes vs. Diaz matchup. Good statement from KJ Nunes, and good to hear his side of things after we've pretty much just heard from his manager, who did not come off well, and Jared Shaw, who, based on this information from KJ, does not come off well at all. And, looking at KJ's side, you can see where he's coming from, and you can understand why he doesn't want that fight, and why he doesn't think he should bow to Elite XC's demands. If all that's being said is true from his side, it doesn't work. Hopefully things go better for KJ and his relationship with Elite XC, and hopefully Elite XC can realize that that's doesn't seem to be the way to do business, and it's very detrimental to them going forward. Last thing, Affliction, a little Affliction news. RedSweat.com has a blog up about Affliction teaming up with Michael Waltrip Racing to promote their upcoming Day of Reckoning October 11th show. They're going to have the 00 car wrapped with an Affliction banner for the NASCAR race on Sunday, the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway in Southern California. They have a quote from Tom Atencio, the vice president for Affliction. Affliction is proud to make racing history as the first MMA organization to sponsor a car in NASCAR. NASCAR fans are huge supporters of MMA, and this is a great collaboration for both sports. Michael Waltrip is quoted, "It's great to have Affliction Entertainment as a Michael Waltrip Racing partner. Our partnership with Affliction and MMA allows us to connect with millions of fans in a unique way." So this is going to be really good promotion for Affliction, and could go on top of the car. They're going to have a bunch of promotional platforms for fans in attendance on Sunday, but millions of people in this country watch NASCAR. You get a small percentage of that interested if you get some more TV coverage or comments on television by commentators about Affliction being affiliated with Michael Waltrip Racing for this, and you get that car going around, especially if it does well, and it could be really, really good publicity, and could garner some extra viewers for Affliction's next show. So that's nothing but good publicity for Affliction on that front. So, well, that's all I've got for you today after this long, almost 25-minute update. So check back tomorrow for another daily audio update. Back in the